Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com.
New Corporate Body Magazine. Stay informed of the latest technologies, strategies, and organizations behind our food supply, our minds, body, and overall health. Bringing you unexposed global views, advanced products and services, and informative interviews. Travel to unheard of places. NCB peels away fear by exploring the science of consciousness. We are about freedom. Subscribe to New Corporate Body Magazine. Explore your reality and expand your mind. Advertise your products and services with us. NCB is a printed publication and also available online. Check us out at www.newcorporatebody.com or call 949-249-3825. That's www.newcorporatebody.com, 949-249-3825. New Corporate Body Magazine and Sovereign Mind are a division of Timeline Publishing, Incorporated.
Everybody put your hands together right here. Say that for sure.
Welcome to Sovereign Mind Radio Program, and I'm your host, Sonia Barrett, broadcasting from Inner Light Radio and BBS Radio on Wednesday, September 24th, 2008, Matrix Time. Join me each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time as Sovereign Mind explores the nature of the game, the game players, and the strategies in place to hold you spellbound and distracted. Informed guests will bring insight to the silent side of corporations, spiritual concepts, science, and technology, and how they're all being used to influence your choices. We will explore concepts and ideas that will stretch human imagination and potential. We want you to participate by calling in at 310-928-7733 or emailing your questions to innerlightradio@yahoo.com. My guest today is Egan Saunders, author of The Magic Box. Egan Saunders is the author of The Magic Box. He is a life coach, lecturer, teacher, event organizer, publisher, dedicated environmentalist, and author whose writings have appeared in several publications. Egan shares deeper insight into much of the misconceptions and misleading concepts expressed in documentaries such as The Secret. He explains the nature of manifestation without relinquishing one's soul in the process. He digs into quantum physics in explaining the process of creating reality, a life based on one's inner guidance. The Magic Box is a rich story, an inspiring tale for readers of all ages. The book sheds a clear light on the mysterious process of how our deepest desires can come into being. The central theme of the book is that your consciousness is your magic box. By learning to understand your mind, emotions, and actions, you can attract your heart's desires into your life. Again, you are listening to Sovereign Mind live on Inner Light Radio and BBS Radio on Wednesday, September 24th. Egan Saunders, welcome to Sovereign Mind.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, Egan, I tell you, I must be honest. And, you know, you and I have spoken before, and that little book is very deceiving in the fact that it's this very small book, and it's packed with really insightful, you know, powerful information, but the information is given in a simple manner in this story. And I myself was reminded of a couple of things, and just the fact that the book was small, and I almost wanted to not believe that it would have been packed, you know, with that kind of understanding. You know, that reminded me that I dare not ever judge a book by its cover. So that was good.
Well, one of the things I've learned over the years is to contract time and space. So I do things very, very quickly. And what I've done in all my work, whether it's been writing or my environmental work or teaching or what have you, is I try to do things in a very concentrated format. So when I originally wrote The Magic Box, the first draft 12 years ago, I just wrote the inspirational story part. And, you know, it was good, and it was based on my understanding at that time. And during the 12 years of the process of developing it, you know, I grew my understanding. So, you know, in the final version of the book, I added a lot of things. Basically, the book is in two sections. The first part is an inspiring story about the law of attraction, about a character who goes through his life and tries to manifest things. And it's sort of by the end of the story, you get like a jolt of inspiration when you find the surprise ending. And then the second part of the book is a practical step-by-step guide to manifesting your heart's desire. And then I have another section, actually, that talks about the symbols. So I wrote the book with many different layers of consciousness because there are many different levels of consciousness that exist right now. And so it's the kind of book, you know, you can reread The Magic Box and you can get more and more things out of it. And I did that purposely.
Yeah, I see that. I see that. A beautiful little book. And what I liked about it was the fact that you can read that story to a child. It's, you know, any age, and it does draw you in. And it's, at the same time, it's not a lengthy read. And so I thought that was really, really, just a really wonderful piece for, you know, someone to have with them, to carry around. Now, let's see, one of the important things, you know, there's a lot of important things I want to talk about, but one of the things that I really want to kind of pin down is when we talk about our heart's desires, I think there's so much confusion with that. Exactly what emotions set behind some of what we may be desiring, I think those are things that we have to look at. Is it ego? Does it interfere with someone else's free will? You know, is it purely material? Is it all short-term solutions and simply just an emotional fix, and you do address it in the book in one area there, but I want you to sort of, you know, go into to some of that, you know, what I just talked about, because there's
let's make a distinction about the personality and the soul. So the personality is the ego, which is a container. So in metaphysical thinking, you know, the idea is that you are infinite, you are all that is, but you also exist in time and space as an individual. You have a personality, you have an ego. So there are two types of desires, the personality desire and the soul desire. So the personality desire might be, I want to win the lottery. I want lots of money. Give me money, universe. Soul might say, you know, the soul desire might, you know, might be, we want you to develop your gifts and abilities. We want you to grow personally and spiritually. So you'll get some money, but you're going to go, you know, into your inner life, where we will give you challenges that will, you know, develop, you know, other aspects of your consciousness. So for me, for those on the spiritual path, conscious spiritual path, everybody's on a spiritual path, but not everybody's conscious of it, to me, you have to, you know, harmonize the personality desire and the soul desire. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're looking at the mass media and you're becoming basically a consumer. So I think that's an important distinction is when people are looking to manifest, they have to say, okay, this is my personality desire, it's okay, but is there something deeper I can get out of this?
Yes, absolutely, because I think that's where a lot of the chaos comes into play. When things don't pan out the way people think in terms of what they're desiring, and then there's confusion around it, and as you said, yes, the soul's, you know, for lack of a better word, purpose, things that you need to learn, things that you need to understand. Now, you know, you and I did talk about the some of the misconceptions, yes, and we're not, first of all, I want to say I'm not bashing The Secret, but what I would like to do is, because there are so many people that were upset about it, just people from all walks of life, people who were never exposed to this information before, that felt that it was as simple as was being expressed in the film to just, you know, start desiring. And either they desired and things happened and it wasn't what was, you know, it backfired, it didn't end well. Those kinds of things. So Egan, I mean, can you just really sort of talk about some of that manifestation process as expressed?
Well, I think of myself more as a scientist than a metaphysician or an author. So for 25 years, I studied all of the creating reality or reality creation or law of attraction techniques. I mean, if you can name it, I've done it because I wanted to understand. And I think what happened is that when The Secret came out, it was positive and negative. In other words, the positive aspect was it shared these ideas, the law of attraction, with many people who probably were not aware of it. But the other problem is that the other problem that came out of this is that it created a myth. And the myth is that simply you build a vision board or a treasure map or you do an affirmation and magical elves appear and they give you what you want or you get your parking space. For the listeners, I can tell you this. I've been doing this for 25 years. I've read, you know, many other books that you know, predated The Secret. My book predated The Secret. I wrote 12 years ago. But there are a lot of myths now, and that's kind of where we're at right now, is that people are being told it's so easy and quick, and that's a half-truth. Magical things can definitely happen easily and quickly, but for me, reality creation has been a process of learning about myself, being patient. I mean, things that are basically The Secret makes reality creation sound very sexy, but really it's not that glamorous. It's, you know, for example, you know, a lot of times in positive thinking they'll say, well, if you just manifest what you want or think positive, your fear vanishes. Guess what? You're still going to have fear as long as you're on this planet. There's an idea that if you just think something or feel something or vibrate with it, it manifests. Well, guess what? I put this in the magic box. You need to take some sort of action. Thinking something and feeling something does have a power, but since we're living in a physical reality, action is actually what manifests things. There's another idea that you can control the universe. Well, in a way, you can control your actions, but you do not control the universe. So telling people that they can, you know, control streetlights and find parking spots and create the ideal mate is a half-truth because you don't control the universe. God or the higher power controls the universe. And finally, material gratification doesn't always equal fulfillment. If it did, then the United States would be very, you know, happy. Even in the midst of our current financial issues that are going on, we live so well. We have so much wealth. But a lot of people just aren't happy because they realize that just having 5 cars or the latest video game or whatever doesn't bring happiness. I think most people would like more of a loving connection with other people. So I think there are some illusions about getting stuff. Not that there's anything the matter with it, but there are limitations.
Yeah, I think, yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing is the distinction between thinking positively, that, you know, that's a whole other thing.
Cannot be done, because I have, you know, all these things are good, but what you'll notice is that the mind has its own sort of, you know, software. You know, even myself, after all these years of training, and I'm very mindful, I've taught meditation, I'm mindfulness, I can watch myself, and I see all these negative thoughts come up. Now, granted, some of them I'm picking up from other people or the mass consciousness, and some of it's just my own neurosis. Now, if I'm a spiritual teacher, and I've been doing this for 25 years, and I've gone through all sorts of healings and trainings and this, that, and the other thing, what I've learned is that you can't always think positive, but if you have negative thoughts, you can understand them, you can handle them, but you can never fully erase, you know, all the negative, you know, thinking, because it's just not realistic. And people who tell you that, basically they're being misleading.
Yeah, and then what happens is you're actually suppressing what's really there. I mean, you're trying to override it with, you know, what you
you're
call
paving over.
Exactly.
I call it paving over. A lot of the self-help people will say, oh, just think positive with a big smile on your face. There's something inauthentic about it because a human being has a wide, you know, range of emotions. And so when people say, just think positive, you're being so negative, you kind of like get irritated because let me just feel what I'm feeling and stop paving over
Absolutely.
My authentic experiences.
Absolutely, Egan. I mean, and that is something that I emphasize. Just allow yourself to go ahead and feel what you're feeling. Just let it flow through until you can see it. And I guarantee you there's something you've got to learn. Something that you need to notice, then you can move forward. But I think that that's part of the big thing right now too, is this utopia type concept. And it's such an imbalance. There is no balance then.
I think the best thing to do, you know, here's an interesting quote. As you move towards the light, you encounter your own darkness. Now, I had experiences in my life where, you know, here I'm meditating and I'm teaching people and I'm writing and I'm doing all these things. And a few years ago, I basically had an encounter with my own shadow, the dark night of the soul. Suddenly, a bunch of things that I wanted to manifest did not work out. And there I was thinking, wait a minute, here I've done all these positive things, why is my reality not what I want to be? Well, there were still things in my consciousness. Now, was I going to deny the shadow and put a smile on my face? No. I had to stop. I had to sit in my stuff, so to speak, examine what I was feeling. I even got help from another practitioner because, you know, emotionally I was very unclear, and I had to work through those issues. So, you know, it's like our current financial situation. People think that this bailout is going to solve all the problems. But what's actually the problem is that people were in denial. People were trying to fix a system that wasn't working properly just so people would feel better. The best thing that could happen is for there to be a disruption so people can stop and say, wait a minute, is there a different way for us to do this? Maybe we really need to rethink this instead of just kind of trying to fix something that, you know, is broken. So I'm really big on allowing yourself to have your breakdowns and your upsetness and your negative feelings. Learn from it. Understand it. Embrace it. Part of the human experience is this wide range of emotions. And people who say you can just be happy all the time, they're misleading you.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that, too, because that is what, you know, a lot of people are thinking that they're ultimately aiming for is this unbalanced, you know. Let's put it this way. From my own perspective, anyway, all of it is happiness. The feelings where it's not so great and the feelings where it's great. I mean, to have the one all the time is so out of balance because you learn so much from the other aspects and so many things that come into your life because of that. And to feel one way would be extremely limiting. Wouldn't you say, Egan? It would limit you tremendously.
Well, I there's so many different ways to explore reality, so I can't say. But my take on it is that we live in a commercialized, you know, materialistic society where they're always telling you, you're incomplete. Buy my product. Wear my clothes.
Right.
Watch this
mm-hmm.
movie. So what happens is people say, okay, so if I'm going to create stuff in my life, if I have these things, then I'll be complete. So when you're in that type of thinking, you're trying to feel good. And I remember I was at a Unitarian fellowship. I was speaking one time, and there was a man in the audience, and we had talk back, which is we were having a group conversation after my talk, and he was saying, you know, our society is all about feeling good, feel good. It's like this message is to feel good all the time, you know, and you see these radio commercials or TV commercials where people are drinking soda, and they're jumping up in the air as if soda is some magical elixir, or you know, and it's kind of absurd. If you actually look at some of the things, it's so silly, And now look at the result. People are overweight. People are unhealthy. People are over-medicated. Why? Because we're being told, buy all this stuff, feel better. Well, what if that wasn't the case? Now, in the magic box, you know, the character, he asked for things. He asked for health. He asked for prosperity. He asked even for love. But the final thing he asked for is wisdom and enlightenment. And I think that that, to me, is the greatest manifestation that all of us have to seek and say, yes, I have material needs. You know, I would like prosperity. I would like love. I would like these things. What about enlightenment and awareness? I blend reality creation with mindfulness. That's my thing. Because if you just create a lot of stuff, that's fine, but you have no awareness. And if you're just mindful all the time and, you know, meditating and sitting in some cave somewhere, well, that's no fun. So I kind of blend both of them.
Right, which is exactly what I was saying. Yes, because if you're just off somewhere in a cave, absolutely. That's just a one-sided process. But what I also like is in the story of the magic box, there's a line which says, people can ask for harmful things, silly things, but the magic box doesn't judge the wish. It just fulfills it. And to me, that is a profound statement because that was indeed a key ingredient that was missing from the equation in the film that we just mentioned. Because you can get anything, basically, yes, that you ask for, but will you want it when it gets here?
Well, there's two things about that. Our belief systems are self-perpetuating and self-sustaining. So, you know, that's why I'm in a reality bubble, you're in a reality bubble.
Right.
If you're a Republican and you think Sarah Palin is the greatest thing on earth, and I'm a Democrat, and I know you don't, and I'm a Democrat and I think Barack Obama is the greatest thing on earth, okay, those are realities unto themselves. But everybody's in a different reality bubble, and because you believe something, that's what you see. You create what we would call the matrix. Now, when you're creating something in your life, there's the object or the form, and there's the essence. So if you say, no, let me talk to the guys out there. The guy says, I want a beautiful woman to be my girlfriend. Okay, that's the form. Okay? So they go out, and they're a player, and they, you know, they have a good line, or they have a lot of money, you know, whatever it is, and they get a beautiful woman. But if that person is not loving or kind, or they don't really have a lot in common, they don't really have the essence of what they want, which is probably to have a connection with somebody. So there's a very important distinction between essence and form. I know my own life. You know, basically in the magic box, this character gets all these things. That's based on my life. I got a tremendous amount of money. You know, I had a soulmate. I had an amazing healing. I would like to think that I'm somewhat enlightened. I've had, you know, different enlightening experiences. And what I learned from all of that is that it was interesting, but even after manifesting all these things, I've come to the conclusion that you got to have the essence. And it doesn't always come with, you know, people want to win the lottery. That's not the answer to everything. So I think we're learning in this process about reality creation, about what creations serve us. And I put that in the book because people are free to explore whatever they want. You know, the universal power doesn't really judge in the way that we think. It's kind of impartial. But we go through that learning process. So sometimes you create bad stuff, and that's how you learn.
Right, absolutely. So it's all either way. Either way.
Right.
I mean, there are no mistakes on it. But it's just, it helps when you get that. When you understand that, then you don't judge it to death. You don't beat yourself up because you did. You know, you get to review it.
You're an explorer. I mean, you try things out. I mean, I know I sit there and I say, why did I do this? Or why? And I go back and I look at my life and I say, well, I was exploring. I was doing the best I knew how. And so it's very important that we do not judge ourselves and we have compassion for ourselves and try not to compare. This is something I've struggled with because I'd say, well, look at all these people with all this wealth and power. I mean, like, you know, here they have all this power. You know, why don't other people who are more, you know, this is why I support Barack because I feel like, you know, he has a different approach. I think he's more inclusive and I think he has a different type of consciousness. You know, and I would say, well, why is this the way it is? But then what's interesting is, like, for example, I used to live in Houston, a lot of oil money there, a lot of wealthy people. And I would drive around these neighborhoods and see these McMansions. I mean, huge houses, 4-bedroom, 7-bedroom. Maybe only 2 people live there. And I remember just driving through there and saying, you know, these houses are beautiful, but there's, like, no soul here. Right. So when I look at other people who are so materialistic, it's okay. It's their exploration. There's no judgment. My life process was I experienced prosperity. I used to work on Wall Street, and, you know, I've been successful, but also for personal growth. And a lot of people on this planet, they're just, they don't, it's like they have a soul, but they're not really growing. So I don't know if I'd want to be one of those people.
Right, right. At least in this time, not in this particular life experience for you.
Right.
And I know that we addressed this, but this was one of my separate questions that are not questions, but maybe statement/question.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the difference that people do go through in life. And there's so much confusion with that when, you know, when we look out there or people look on and you do, you know, people feel sorry for, and I'm using the word feeling sorry for, because
right.
That's what it is, for what people are going through. And I think there's so much in terms of the individual's own life journey. It's so much larger in terms of their own individual journey.
We never know, Sonia. We never know
absolutely.
What a person's lesson's in. So I can't,
absolutely.
You know, people are suffering. I went through suffering in my life. I'm thinking, well, if somebody tried to pull me out of that, that wouldn't have been for my highest good. So in trying to help the planet, I don't know what the answers are. Nobody really does.
Absolutely.
I mean, the truth is, nobody really knows, you know, how reality works in every aspect or what it all means. We're all trying to figure it out. So when I look at a person, somebody comes to me for counseling, I don't assume that I know, you know, what to tell them. I simply tune into them on a psychic level. I listen to them, and then I'm guided, and I help them create what they want to create, you know, with the highest possible consciousness that I can deliver. But we just don't understand, you know, all these things. And I think that, you know, the best attitude I found, something to explore and be open. You know, in the magic box, you know, the main character is trying to manifest things, he's learning lessons. Things don't always work out the way
right.
he wants them to. You know, he suffers. Things don't happen the time that he wants or in the way that he wants them to. So I think if we can let go of trying to control things and simply be open with what we want to create and be teachable and be open with open minds, then life becomes a lot easier and then becomes more peaceful, I think.
Absolutely. Yes. Now, you said exactly what I was hoping you would say, because that is, you know, the way at least I perceive it anyway, that individuals, it's very difficult when people are not in a space where they can understand what you just said. They will say, yes, but all these people are, you know, are suffering, or why is this? It's, you know, it's an individual journey. We really don't know. There's just so much. But when we come back, we have to take a break, Egan.
Sure.
And then I wanted to go over some things with you in terms of your own practice. Anyway, we are speaking with Egan Sanders, author of The Magic Box. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Egan.
Disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
New Corporate Body Magazine. Stay informed of the latest technologies, strategies, and organizations behind our food supply, our minds, body, and overall health. Bringing you unexposed global views, advanced products and services, and informative interviews. Travel to unheard-of places. NCB peels away fear by exploring the science of consciousness. We are about freedom. Subscribe to New Corporate Body Magazine. Explore your reality and expand your mind. advertise your products and services with us. NCB is a printed publication and also available online. Check us out at www.newcorporatebody.com or call 949-249-3825. That's www.newcorporatebody.com, 949-249-3825. New Corporate Body Magazine and Sovereign Mind are a division of Timeline Publishing, Incorporated.
From break. You probably heard us chit-chatting. Anyway, we are...
I just proposed this on you.
Well, hopefully they missed that. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, all right. Anyway, Egan, you are definitely humorous. We need this. We need to be humorous on this crazy matrix ride we're on.
That's true.
But anyway, yeah, there was a statement also that I noticed that you made, because you do provide counseling services for others. You said, I prefer to counsel, guide, and support you rather than to predict, to present you with choices and insight for your personal and spiritual growth. And I find that to be a key importance, as most people go running off to get a psychic reading every week. And it does interfere with, one, getting in touch with your own intuition, knowingness, and being able to truly trust that inner guidance. And I do want to say, though, that I am not disqualifying, that at certain periods in our lives, it may have been necessary for us to take that road. I certainly did, and I myself even used to provide readings some years back. And for me, I stopped because I didn't want anyone to center or limit the outcome of their circumstances, around Sonia's predictions. And I also realize that the slightest change in thought does present new choices. So in hearing you say that, Egan, which I seldom see, I really loved that you did say that. So if you can, go into a little bit of, of what...
I think we're all looking for a connection with the higher consciousness. We kind of, I think on an intuitive level, most human beings realize that their personality, their ego, is not the end-all of everything, because if it was, we'd have more answers. Now, in times past, let's say in our distant future, distant past, there was probably a time when human beings were more in connection with this higher self, this soul, God, whatever you want to call the infinite intelligence. But over time, we lost that connection. So what happened was that intermediaries were created. Priests, religious leaders, political leaders, warriors. People lost their own connection. It'd be like all of a sudden if all the power outlets in your house or your apartment did not work and you had to plug into somebody else's, power source to keep things going. So that was a cycle that we went through. That's part of the forgetfulness of becoming a human being on this plane of existence. Now we're kind of on the uptick and going back to a part where people are looking for answers. And you see this tremendous surge and people looking for information. So in my own case, I've been teaching for many years. And, I would do like weekly classes, meditation classes, book study classes. And I found that people started to idealize me. And this was kind of weird because even though I felt good about what I was doing, my main message was, let me share tools with you to expand your awareness. So actually for about 6 months, I didn't teach. And it was a very tough time for me. But I had to reevaluate, what was appropriate. So I think for many people, they do not have the confidence in themselves to trust in their own answers, And then there are other people who do want to go with it, but that requires discipline. My experience is that most people do not have the desire, the discipline to really think for themselves or to seek their own intuition. But I think that that will change as we go on in time.
Oh, great. Another thing I want to address is you also spoke about fate and destiny again in the story, in story form, which simplifies the understanding. It says your fate or destiny is the result of your actions. Again, would you like to, I'd like for you to address it from the angle of maybe, I don't know, quantum physics, the observer effect, because that's sort of how it, what it reminds me of. For every action, there, you know, there is a reaction. We cannot observe something without altering it. But the fact that, you know, fate or destiny, because people tend to get locked into that, and then they hang themselves up on it as if they have
no choice. Karma. It's like karma. People think, well, karma, oh, I had bad karma in past life. I got to pay for it in this life. The word karma just means action. That's it. So let's say in a past life you find that you did something terrible. Well, you have a couple of choices. You can either create suffering for yourself now, you can either learn a lesson, or you can simply make amends somehow. First, decide not to do that action again. And if you feel like to make amends, you know, help other people or be kind to other people or try to make amends in some way. So, you know, when people talk about fate or destiny, I think what I know is true for me is that before we come into this life, we set up some general guidelines about what we want to explore. We make agreements. We make decisions about where we're going to be born and some things we want to do. But then it's all free form. So I don't know if there is a destiny or a fate. A lot of times people say, what's my purpose in life? Why am I here? What's God's plan for me? And my only conclusion is at this point is that it's basically what you want to do. It's what you're passionate about, what excites you. That's your purpose. I know a lot of metaphysical people or healers or teachers like myself and you, we suffer. We try to sacrifice ourselves, or at least I used to, you know, because we feel like we're here to save the planet and save humanity and we'll sacrifice and do all that. But that's not fun after a while. So.
Oh my God! Yeah, I have enough difficulty just taking care of myself and figuring out what I'm doing.
Right.
Much less to be responsible for anybody else. Yeah, it is something else. But I'm happy that there are people like you who are doing counseling, who are coming from that angle, because there's still so many out there where I see it in, you know, magazines and all of that. It's coming from still an ego space, and you can't promise anything to anybody. You can't.
Most people are in the ego. Most people are in survival. That's the reality. So if I say to somebody who doesn't want to be empowered, here, let me empower you, they're not vibrating with that. I had a big shock one time. There was a little book about, have you heard of the group The Intenders?
It sounds familiar.
Well, they focus on intentions and creating a reality. So the guy wrote this little book.
Oh, yes.
He wrote this little book, but there was one great line which really was an eye-opener, and he said, you're programmed to do three things on this planet. Consume, conform, die. Consume, conform, die. That's everything. Buy a lot of stuff.
Wow.
Do what we tell you.
That's
and
true.
Then when we're done with you, die.
Now,
what's the alternative? Consume. I mean, maybe create. Conform would be express. And obviously, instead of dying, to live. So that's the kind of consciousness that permeates everything. And people are so focused on survival because that's all survival. You know, food, sex, you know, material gratification, me, the ego. They think that's who their personality is. Now, I do have a personality. I do exist in time and space as an individual who's currently called Egan Sanders, whoever that is, but I've had other bodies, and I am simultaneously the omnipresence of the universe. So that's a little bit of a different consciousness than just thinking I'm this personality and this small person. So we talk about fate and destiny and creating your life and all these other things. You have to ask, as what? As who? As a soul or as a personality?
Absolutely. Yeah, that distinction is really important because that's what happens. People get locked into an identity. And that identity is everything that you just said. I mean, and most of it is centered around consumerism and having to live up to whatever the concepts have been set in place for success and failure. And it's all tied into purchasing, buying, doing something of that nature.
I think everybody should buy my book, but don't be materialistic.
What
a mixed message.
It is a great little book, I have to say. And it doesn't matter how much you think you know. It doesn't matter how much you think you know. As much as I have written, and I've written a lot of stuff, this little book just reminded me of basic things, and it's being able to allow ourselves to do that and not think that we just know, you know, we know it all, because sometimes you forget stuff. You're just so busy knowing everything that you forget other things.
Well, I tried to, you know, put a lot of different layers into, like, the main character. He gets a lot of money, but then he also has to work. You know, he finds a relationship, but that isn't always the answer to, you know, human loneliness all the time. You know, he wants wisdom, but wisdom takes him down unusual pathways. So, you know, I really worked very hard in the book to have many different layers of consciousness, because I didn't want to write something that was overly simplistic, even though some people say, oh, you know, some magical things happen in it. But, you know, also there are things where it's basically the character took action. And so that's what I'm trying to communicate in the book, is that we don't necessarily understand everything about reality creation. Here are some things that I found have worked. Here are some insights that will make your journey a little bit smoother. And that's why it's kind of a weird hybrid book, because I have the inspirational story, which gives like a jolt of inspiration with the surprise ending. But then I have a practical step-by-step guide. And usually you don't have that in a book. Either you have a story, a fictional story, or, you know, a step-by-step, you know, how-to. And so I was trying to add different layers so people could have the inspiration, but also say, okay, I'm inspired. Now, what can I do in my own life? You know, how can I be the creator of my own life rather than being dictated to what other people think I should create?
I want to, because I don't want to run out of time, but I want to ask you about the symbols. But there's a question that just came in from Shatreya, I believe. It says, greetings, Sonia and guests. I'm resonating with the content of the interview as it relates to the current economic and social issues that we in the West are facing. Many people are feeling the doom and gloom and are preparing for it by parroting what the news and experts are saying. How then do we move forward with actualizing our dreams as the news of economic depressions nears?
It's a very good question. Thank you. Wow. You know, this is my experience. Now, I'm a pretty highly developed intuitive, or psychic, as some people would call it. I prefer the word intuitive. And what I do is, and this is my suggestion, the bottom line is this. There is no longer a consensus reality. Everybody is too stratified now. So some people will be having economic crisis. Other people are just fine. Even though there's some financial turmoil, you know, people are not dying in the streets. So what I do is, when I'm looking at these events on the news, because I watch it, because I'm curious, I tune in and I say, is this really, you know, important? Like, for example, I used to live in Florida, and we get these hurricanes. And so I tune in, and if I really felt that I was going to be hit or something, I'd make preparations. But otherwise, if something, you know, my inner self said, don't worry about it, I wouldn't worry about it, and I was always right. So I would encourage that anybody who's listening to this, whether you think you're intuitive or not intuitive or whatever, think for yourself, look at the events, and just tune into yourself and sense out if this is really important. My own take on it is that we're going through a transition. This perfectly lines up with the Mayan prophecies about 2012, which people talk about cataclysms and the end of the world. Really, it's about a change in consciousness. It's about a change from ego to universal love. It's a change from lack to prosperity, and a change from the material world to a spiritual, more spiritualized consciousness. So I would say look at it, understand that a lot of people buy into it, but it doesn't really have to affect you. You know, so what? You know, the whole, you know, the world's not going to collapse because, you know, we don't bail out Wall Street. You know, yes, there'd be problems, but the whole world is not going to collapse. I mean, that's an illusion. Who are these people? What are their motivations? You'll see that a lot of it, they're trying to control, you know, your worldview, and you don't have to buy into that.
I love it. That's so true. Okay, Egan, that's great, because that's true. I am really unshaken by all of this. And honestly, the people who are suffering the most are the people who have a tremendous amount of money and tied into Wall Street. The people who don't have any money are already used to not having any
money. Right. You don't got it. You don't got to worry about it.
So, you know, so they're like, you know,
it's a correction. To me, it's a correction. I'll talk while you laugh. It's a correction. It's a correction because it just got so out of whack because, I mean, the haves and the have-nots, it's getting so stratified now. I mean, I think I saw something on TV. It's like the income of the top 1% went up like 60 times, and lower income, you know, went down. So it's like you have more rich people, almost middle class is disintegrating in the United States, I'm talking about. So this is a correction because it's out of balance. So to me, I look at this and I don't say, oh, this is terrible. I say, perfect. We need to look at these issues. We need to examine it. This is perfect. Stop trying to get a quick fix. And again, you can relate to your own personal journey, which when things don't work out the way you want them to, you stop. You let yourself collapse or break down, and that allows for breakthrough. So this is a perfect reflection of the changing consciousness because change is the only constant. If things just keep on going on the way they're going with no universal health care and all this war stuff and all these things, you know, it's like we're like schizophrenic in this country. And so we have to stop and sort of have a little breakdown and look at our values and reexamine these things.
And I think that, yes, absolutely. And it all does boil down to perception as well and the individual. I think you have to look at things from, you know, in your own life and choices that maybe you might want to make differently. And as Egan says, tune into yourself, because I am a firm believer that I am always going to be guided on what to do, where to go. Should I need to up and move, I will know. I don't care that they're telling me, you know, part of California is supposed to, it matters not to me, because I am not focusing on what is coming out of another human being's mouth, but rather I am tuning in and being connected, knowing that I'm always connected, but being in that aware space. So I think this is giving everyone the opportunity to really take responsibility for themselves as individuals and emerge as, you know, as the creative force that you are for your own life. Mm. So that's what I say on that as well.
Amen.
Egan, you know, there. I want to make sure we can talk about this really quickly. The symbols in the book are wonderful. Can you talk in that a little bit? The symbols that you have in the book, returning to the box.
Basically, in the Magic Box book, the main character is given a box that whenever you put wishes in the box, they manifest. And so he goes through his life manifesting more and more things, and then finally at the end of his life, he understands what the actual secret power was behind the magic box. So to make it universal, there are symbols that are on the box, and they're sort of geometric figures. And they examine different ideas about reality creation. And that was with the original version of the box that I had those symbols, and then later I kind of thought about it and looked at, you know, what those symbols meant. So, for example, there's a single gold dot on one side of the box. And that's like when you get the spark of an idea, you know, the origin of a new desire, you know, the spark of awareness. There's a side of the magic box with a circle, which represents the continuous cycle of creation, the wheel of life that's always in motion. My favorite symbol on the box, and the, you know, is on the top of the box. And this, as Sonia knows, plays a very important, is like sort of like a character in the book. And it's a smiling face, and it's sort of like a mysterious smiling face that, you know, represents the joy of expectancy as our creations come to us. You know, and it has like stars for eyes, which are the magical power of our perceptions. So when we look at symbols, they bypass the conscious mind. And so if you look at a circle, you look at a square, you look at a religious symbol, it has an effect, and that's, sort of a, sacred geometry kind of understanding. So I sort of weave that into the book as part of my past lives was, in those sort of mystical symbols. And that adds another layer to those people who are interested about the book and about understanding the power of symbols. I mean, even words are symbols, so that's what I have to say about the symbols.
Well, absolutely, because symbols are, that's the first language, and that's true. We are surrounded by symbols, commercial symbols especially. There's a lot of that, and you don't even have to see the name of the FedEx truck to know it's FedEx.
Right, exactly.
A big brown truck with, it's like immediately you know. So yes, we are operating off symbols more than we realize. So why not incorporate symbols that are really all empowering to you as an individual? And I want to make sure, were you going to say something, Ian?
No.
Okay. We only have a couple of minutes, but I want you to give out your website, any events that you're going to be doing, and certainly how we can get a hold of the book.
Sure. My website for my coaching and counseling is Egan, E-G-A-N, Sanders, Sanders.com. And on that website, I have an archives of my newsletters and articles, and you can also download a free report called The 25 Ways to Clear Blockages to Well-Being. So that's something that if you just sign up for my mailing list, it goes out, and a lot of people enjoy that free report. The book, I self-published the book, although it's limited, and it has a limited availability in bookstores. But if anybody, the listeners want to buy it, I'll be happy to autograph a copy. And you would simply go to Agne, A-G-N-E, publishing.com, and you can order it online there, and I can send it right out.
All right. Well, I tell you, Egan, you have been a wonderful guest. Your energy is definitely vibrant, and it's always wonderful to have that, very refreshing to have that. And I am so glad that I had you on the show, because you make it simple. And a lot of times people do need that. People do need where it's, it's simple, something that they can actually wrap their minds around, place their hands on. And so thank you so much for that. Thank you for being you.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you. And, of course, again, thank you to the listening audience, and thank you for being with us this morning. You can contact me at sonibarr@yahoo.com, and please visit the website www.sovereignmindradio.com. And again, you know what I always say, tune in next Wednesday, 9 a.m., and remember that the power to be a sovereign mind, a free mind, lies within you. Join me. I'll change it to both.
Someday I will move on to the other side.